We are privileged to bring to you another series of spiritual conferences given by Father John A. Hardin, S.J., professor at the Jesuit School of Theology in Chicago and at St. John's University in New York. Father Hardin is a well-known retreat master, author, and spiritual director. Each conference in this series is separate in itself, and yet together they form a complete retreat, the overall theme being sacrifice and love. The heart of all spirituality is sacrifice, and a spiritual life not built on sacrifice is building on sand. In the following conference, Father Hardin speaks on the subject, Faith in the Life of a Priest. Father Hardin.
By way of introduction, I might say that we will have a number of conferences during the retreat on the priesthood, and more specifically, they will be conferences that I have given to priests, most recently to the priests of the Archdiocese of St. Louis. I felt that as part of your vocation, since it is to pray and sacrifice for priests, it would be both instructive and, I hope, somewhat inspiring to know whom you are praying and sacrificing for and what the Church expects of her priests. The present conference is on the importance of faith in the life of a priest. If there is anything we can safely say about the Church in the modern world, it is the fact that many things we used to take for granted, we can no longer casually assume. Not too many years ago, it would have been, if not strange, at least a bit odd, to talk on the importance of faith in the life of a priest. But it is not strange or odd today, when the faith of millions of the faithful is being tried in the extreme, and for many is being shaken to its foundations, and in many cases, lost. It would be strange if the faith of many priests was not also being tested. After all, priests, and how this bears emphasis, are just as human as the rest of the people of God. They are subject to the same social and psychological pressures as their fellow Christians. If anything, they are even more exposed to the strong winds of intellectual controversy. And consequently, they are more in need of reflecting on the importance of faith in their lives. My intention in this conference is to look at three words in sequence and briefly comment on each in order to arrive at a deeper and more clear understanding of what we are talking about. The three words are faith, life, and priests. And for each word, we shall ask ourselves a corresponding question. What is faith? Why is faith important in the life of a Christian And how is faith imperative in the life of a Catholic priest? We can give summary attention to the first two questions without passing them by and concentrate on the third. Yet I do not think that, given the state of things in the Church today, we should simply glide over either the meaning of faith or its importance in the life of every Catholic Christian. What then is faith? Divine faith is man's response to God's revelation of himself and his will for the human race. I might add, when we talk about what God revealed, let's make sure we know that it's both himself and his will. Revelation is not only for the mind of man to know who God is. Revelation is also for the will of man, what God wants. God's purpose, then, in giving us his revelation is to enable us to reach heaven. Why? Because we need supernatural means to reach a supernatural destiny. Revelation is that means. We also know that all these resources of knowledge that we need to reach heaven are summed up in the person of Jesus Christ. When we ask, as we may legitimately do, what is revelation, we might change the question by asking, who is revelation? And the answer is Christ. As St. Paul tells us, after God had spoken in many ways to the prophets, now at last, in these days, he has spoken to us in his Son. God then sent his Son, the Eternal Word, who enlightens all men, so that he might dwell among men and tell them of the inmost being of God. What makes this revelation, that is the Christian one, unique, is that Christ is the physical incarnation of the divinity. To see him, as he said, is to see the Father. To hear him is to hear the Father. Jesus speaks as man to men, but being God in human form, though he speaks with human lips, he speaks the words of God. This divine revelation, then, is synthesized, or if you prefer, capsulized, or best of all, incarnated in the person of Jesus Christ. If we accept him we believe. Our assent to God's self-disclosure in Jesus is faith. What bears to be emphasized, however, is that this faith of ours is sovereignly free. We are free to believe, and, if you please, free to disbelieve. We may, if we wish, assent, and if we want to, we can dissent. Of course, this does not mean we are morally free to disbelieve or dissent, but we are physically free. We can, if we want to, and the stress is want to, humbly submit our minds to the authority of God revealing, as taught us by His Church. Or we can find reasons, and we can find a thousand reasons for not believing. And yet that's all we can find is reasons. How cheap for either not believing or choosing and picking among the articles of faith. And no one, not even God Himself, will force us to believe against our wills. As the Catholic Church understands the meaning of faith, therefore, it is not a blind impulse that wells up from the depths of a person's psyche, and that some people have and others lack. Some are the believing kind, and others, well, are the unbelieving kind. No. It is an assent of the mind to God's revelation, made possible through our free cooperation with divine grace. We believe with the mind, but only because of the will. It is, if you will, this faith of ours, a gift twice over. Once on the part of God, whose grace enables us to believe. That's His grace to us. And once again on our part, because we give our mind in sacrifice to the infinite mind of God. If you wish, it's our grace to God. He does not have to give us the gift of faith. We don't have to give Him the gift of believing. So much, very summarily, about what this faith of ours really is. Now its importance, that is a faith to all Christians. If we ask how important faith is in the life of a Christian, many answers could be given. You won't expect this one. I think we have the most telling answer in the lives of the millions of our fellow believers who are even now suffering persecution for the faith throughout the world. People don't suffer for what is not important. Martyrdom is not an archaic term to be applied only to those courageous Christians in the early centuries who laid down their lives for Christ rather than deny their loyalty to Him and His Church. Martyrdom is a modern phenomenon that is going on right now. For the first time in the history of the Catholic Church's councils, and there have now been 21 of them, for the first time, because it was so important to say it, the Second Vatican Council told the faithful to prepare for martyrdom if they are to remain firm in their faith today. Let's hear it. We judge the importance of something by a person's willingness to make sacrifices to obtain or retain that something. By this standard, faith must be considered important indeed. When so many hundreds of thousands of Christians have paid, and many are now paying, the supreme sacrifice rather than betray the faith of their fathers. It is ironical that here we are today talking about the importance of faith, evidently because we need to shore up our convictions. On the same day that countless numbers of our fellow believers in Hungary and Czechoslovakia, in Lithuania, Latvia, and Romania, in Poland, Russia, and North Korea, and China, and now in the whole of Vietnam, are undergoing the most extreme privations and persecutions just because they believe in Jesus Christ. We need the homilies. They are living the homilies on faith. There is a grim logic in all of this, because maybe we need to be reminded of the importance of a treasure for which in God's providence we have not yet been called upon to really suffer. One reason, perhaps, why among the 70 provinces of the Society of Jesus in the world, the largest number of vocations are in provinces behind the Iron Curtain, where the society, as we call ourselves, is still free, as in Poland, to receive novices. Why is faith important to a Christian? Because on his faith, everything else depends. Faith is not placed first among the theological virtues for euphonic reasons. That means because the sequence sounds better. Faith is the first in the sense of the fundamental virtue in the life of a Christian. Without faith, there can be no hope. What is there to hope for if I do not believe in what I am supposed to desire? What can I desire unless I first believe in the objects of my desire? Without faith, there can be no love. Why should I love either God or my neighbor if God is only an illusion and my neighbor only an object to be used to satisfy my whims and passions? So much for why faith is important for all Christians. Now our third and focal level of reflection: faith as imperative in the life of a priest. Against this unmistakable background, it should not be difficult to see how indispensable is faith in the life of a priest. To say it is indispensable or imperative is more than just that it is important. It is importance that must be seen as a duty, because on the faith of a priest rests so much of the faith of the people to whom he ministers. On his own commitment to God's revealed word depends so much of their allegiance to the Savior. This should not be surprising. After all, he is not a priest appointed by God to serve others, to bring them the means of salvation. And among these means of salvation, what is the most essential, as we've already seen, without which nothing else that a priest can offer to the people has any meaning? Is it not faith?
Please turn over to side B and push the play button immediately without rewinding the tape.